Lord, we ask that amidst all the voices that we might listen to, we would listen to yours first, and not even mine. May your word be our delight. May it be that which strengthens us to withstand the winds that blow, that we might be grounded and faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of want to, in general, speak a little bit to questions that I've received over the years as we've gone along as to why we do what we do here, why it is that we kind of speak through books of the Bible, at least on the Sunday mornings, why it is that I am woefully out of touch with both denominational culture at times as well as Christian cultures. And as we go along, you'll begin to see why I think that is. But I want to speak to it a little bit so that people understand that I'm not a complete and utter troglodyte with my head in the sand, not wishing to be in tune with what the culture is communicating to us. But I recently spent a wonderful week with Presbyterian pastors at Mount Hermon. And one of our conference speakers was Ben Patterson, who's the campus chaplain at Westmont College. And so you kind of expect a guy who's ministering to college kids to come in and come and do something dynamic, right? And he was actually quite the opposite. He was just deep, say that. And he spoke on the Psalms. And particularly how we as ministers and how we as leaders of congregations should be deeply immersed in what Bonhoeffer called the prayer book of the Bible. That is to say that we should be really immersed in the prayers of God's people that actually are all over the New Testament, referenced a number of ways. But his talks were just very deep, very moving, and refreshingly just life to the soul. And implicit in what he was saying was a critique against the way in which we, over time, as churches, have tended to focus on things and focus on issues that reference the Bible, that claim to be supported by the Bible, but are really the thoughts and the words of people with influence. That is to say that our delight is rather in the greatest and latest and newest thing rather than something that's really old and put between two covers. And we've become, as it were, topical or issue-oriented or program-focused, thinking that if we focus on these issues, we're being biblical. If we're focusing on these topics, we're being biblical. And the Bible, at least in his discussions, was being pushed to the margins. And you'll see that as we go along, I was, in my own practice, even though I would say differently, I myself was very guilty of the very things that he was accusing. That there's been a Christian shift in which we have paid less and less attention to God's word and more to things and to issues that we thought we should be informed about. So in the midst of this somewhat short message, though, I want you to know that I'm going to overstate a case and then come back around and correct it, that is to say. I want to make a point and then say it's completely overstated, but it helps to keep a focus on why the Word of God should be very carefully in the front portions of our mind. And I was reading this week some really old stuff for my own course of study, and a man I was reading, Karl Barth, quotes a man in Germany in 1931 who writes, interestingly, a critique of the American church, and he says that the American sermon is seldom biblical and expository. Its reference to Scripture is in the majority of cases casual or superficial. It deals generally with just religious topics. A critique of America in 1931, and one that I think can still be said today. That is to say that much of our discussion you find in churches throughout our nation can at times be accused of being what we might call launch pad discussions of the Bible. That is to say, we get a verse that applies to what we really want to say and helps us launch into our discussion on it, but we're not actually teaching people the word I have something to say, the minister will say, or the famous Bible teacher has something to say, and it's not focusing on Scripture. And so what do I mean by this? I'm going to give many examples. When I first became a pastor, I was handed a denominational calendar that had every Sunday lined out for a particular issue to focus on. You can think about all these things that were important for you think about Racial Ethnic Sunday, Serving Sunday, you just name it, every Sunday had one. And I thought, do I need to preach on this every Sunday? And then the same Sundays would come up the following year, and I was pretty confused as to why it is that we should focus on all these particular things. The truth is, they were important topics. They were important things that the church should, in fact, be thinking about. But the sum total of the preaching and the praying, at least in the circles that I was in, focused on these issues to such an extent that they were minimizing the biblical sermon. They were minimizing the immersion into a text that needed to be expounded upon. And to a certain degree, those particular issues that were highlighted quite often would lend themselves to a particularly liberal preaching direction. Now, not to be left behind, as I got going along in the Christian ministry, I found out that the conservative folks were doing the exact same thing, led, interestingly, by radio stations. And so I was learning along the way, if I had been paying attention to the radio, I would know which upcoming Sunday this and that was going to be about. I had colleagues and friends serving in big non-denominational churches, and they routinely did not have scripture readings through, sermon series that followed a scripture text, but it was kind of entirely topical. They would have the Mother's Day, the Father's Day. They had a Valentine's Day sermon. Now, I am not going to mock Valentine's Day. You should go on a date with your spouse on Valentine's Day, but that is, as a sermon, vomit-worthy. That's just really... There's no text in the Bible that will help you have a romantic day. To be a good husband, good spouse, yes. But really, Valentine's Day? Then I found out that there was Pastor Appreciation Month in October. I looked it up. You know who decided that? A radio station. But they gave me a whole month. I was so excited. It wasn't just a Sunday. And people would bring me things, and I thought, this is great. But, the only difference between... the progressive liberal churches and the conservative ones was really one of direction, but a very similar thing. It's the very thing that was being critiqued in that text. It was topical, religious topics, that we just needed to know where we stood on this, rather than immersing ourselves in the Word of God deeply. And the sum total of the programs is that the Word of God is usually referenced to support the position rather than preaching on the text, preaching on the tough parts of the text, not bouncing around just so that's easy and has a nice, neat, little, tidy message being preached to us. There's hard stuff. There's stuff that pastors still cannot get because it's hard, because it confronts, it challenges, it moves. But truthfully, if we were to focus on Scripture each week, and if we were to focus on Scripture like the psalmist says, meditating on the Word of God day and night, the Bible itself would help us to know how His Word should be applied in all the situations that we're leading into, right? That the very things that we're trying to be referenced as we should pay attention to this would actually be embodied in a church that loved the Word of God. Rather than saying that, make sure that we have everybody on the right page. Sometimes there's going to be things that we need to struggle with because it's hard to come to consensus on it. But how do you do it? You focus on the Word of God. Carefully marketed as well, Bible studies from the most popular telegenic mega pastor, they promise a lot of things. They promise that if you just do this and your whole church do this, it's going to be transformed. It's become a huge money-making market. And we have more published Bible study materials now than we've ever had. And the question we could ask, though, is our understanding within the church of the Bible becoming greater? Is our understanding of the church enabling us to be the body of Christ throughout the world so that we are, in fact, standing firmly on his word. And in many ways, the church at times and the culture are falling apart, not because we all aren't reading the most popular thing right now, but because the word of God isn't central. It's not because we're not doing this or that church program, it's because we're not doing what's central, falling on the word of God. Faithfully, carefully, daily. And truthfully, in all the examples of the marketing, the paying attention to the issues stuff, the underlying assumption, please hear this very carefully. The underlying assumption is that the words in between the two books, to the covers of the book of the Bible, needs marketing appeal. It needs to be jazzed up. It needs to be made more palatable to the modern world. Now, I don't think this is completely a fair critique to the nth degree. Let me correct the overstatement. There are church events. There are seasons. We do it, Christmas and Easter and other things. I really love the testimonies that bear witness to the faith. We do far more than my sermons can, Mother's Day and Father's Day. There are times and seasons and events and issues that need to be highlighted in the life of the church so that we don't forget it. And there are materials that are presented from Bible studies, and we have some amazing Bible study materials in the library. Our adult ministries team is putting together a lot for us to learn about, to think through, to help us grow in our faith. Movies can, in fact, prod us and move us to think more carefully about this life and how it is our faith is meant to interact with it. But you know what? They're tools. They're not the unlocked secret that's going to transform everything. Tools have appeal quite often as well to certain people and not to others. And I think we put way too much faith in them to change the game, to change people's lives. And we know less and less about the Bible. I'll tell you a story about me. I need a drink of water. Presbyterian church, we have to qualify that. In seminary, I read a book that transformed my life. Dallas Willard's The Divine Conspiracy. It's a long, thick book, 400 pages long. And his presentation of the Sermon on the Mount is the best I've ever read to this day, the best I've ever read. The way he writes really appealed to me, kind of his logical mind, these stories. I pass it out to other ministers studying to be prepared for ordination. My friends. So this is the best book you will ever read. Overstatement, obviously. And if you do this, it'll change your life, it'll transform your ministry, and I passed it out to them, and one came back and said, that's kind of boring. I started getting a little irritated, and one says, I don't know if I buy the argument. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And another says, you know, that just didn't work for me. And then the blood started to boil, and the self-righteous Old Testament anger took over, and fine, you unclean worshipers of Baal, you uncircumcised Philistines, oh, you've got to be kidding me. There's Old Testament humor, by the way. How can you not like this book? Because it wasn't the Word of God. You know, it's going to hit people in different ways. And truthfully, pastors can at times be the worst offenders on this front because we've read hundreds of books about the Bible and how to interpret the Bible and how we can change our church and how we can raise money and how we can be masters of outreach and how we can do this or that and have great youth programs and lots of books. But it should be the Word of God that we focus on. And he hit me between the eyes in the midst of this discussion. Am I one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Who meditates on his law day and night rather than the authors that move me so deeply that I can't believe people wouldn't read what I read. Well, the person who becomes strong is the one who's planted by streams of water, who yields fruit, whose leaf doesn't wither. The Lord prospers their life because their word is deeply embedded into who they are. So if I'm out of touch, my response will be, friends, today is going to be, I don't know, Word of God Sunday. And so will next Sunday, and next Sunday after that. My challenge for you is that tomorrow morning, Monday, would be Word of God Monday, and then Word of God Tuesday, and Word of God Wednesday. Use the tools at your disposal. Listen to the teachers that are faithful to God's word. Recommend movies that you think can be a launching point for recommendations and discussions. But make the word of God central. The danger is to not pay enough attention to it and rather to others interpreting it, when in fact that could be our undoing. And you know what? Every sermon is a failure here if you leave here remembering more about the illustration or the joke or the line of argument than loving or appreciating God's word more when you left than when you entered. That's its only point of reference. We are to know God's word. And in terms of the church, if we understand our task is getting people to delight in God's word, it will mean that the word of God is the most important thing to be heard and to be remembered and to be studied. And as we do that together, week by week, day by day, then it will be a church that is in fact focusing on the very things that ought to be highlighted. It will be a church where the weak and strong stand by side, where the rich and the poor are cared for equally, where widows and orphans and aliens are cared for in our midst, where children are raised up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, where pride is crushed, where fear is sent packing, where selfish, immoral living is abandoned for unselfish lives with integrity and character, where what you see in public is what you see in private, where we care for the alien, where we protect and uplift the dignity of the human life made in God's image, where we care for the creation God has blessed us with, where we pray for people wherever they are in the world, hoping that they would come to know and to love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, does any state have that down? Does any political party have 20% of that right? No. The church does. The church is the hope of the world. And the church is the hope of the world, where when the church, according to our tradition, rightly preaches God's word, where people are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and where Jesus' death is remembered in the celebration of his supper. That's literally it. Where is the true church, our tradition asks, where the word of God is rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered? There you will see a healthy church. So just by way of close, go home and just get out 3 slips of paper. Put one at Psalm 1. Start reading that. And then Psalm 2. Put the next piece of paper in the book of Proverbs. If you want to read a chapter of Proverbs a week or a month, or every day, within a month you'll be done. Or just read a few Proverbs of wisdom. And then go into the New Testament and pick one. Pick a letter, pick a gospel. Read it slowly. Read it carefully. Don't say within 3 months I'm going to do it all and rush through it. You won't have read it well. Go slow. But start in the prayer book of the Bible. Start with his words. And then you will be equipped to be strong in the Lord. You'll be equipped to recognize when the teachers you listen to are wrong, or something what I've said is out of balance, or something that needs to be critiqued in our midst simply by what you have read. We want to be those who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, for your word is life. Help us to be immersed in it, not so that it would make us arrogant for what we might know, not so that it would make it appear as if we were holy and others weren't, not that we could say that we should be admired because we are no less worthy of the grace been given to us than anybody else. But may we know your word so that we may stand strong, so that we may be a tree that grows with deep roots, bearing fruit, so that the winds and the storms and the struggles that come will but blow through us as we stand on the grace shown to us in Christ. We thank you for teachers of the word. We thank you for those who are being witnesses in this world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Dallas Willards and the C.S. Lewises, for the Rick Warrens, for the Billy Grahams, for the Mother Teresas, whose words we can read as they bear witness to Christ. But we know that their witness is sure simply because they were people centered on the word. May we be as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, hail the power of
Friends, blessed are those